may we be helped to worship God and commence our evening service by singing together hymn 1077. Hymn 1077. Tune Daniel 459. Dearest Lord, what must I do? Only thou the way can show. Thou can save me in this hour. I have neither will nor power. Hymn 1077, tune Daniel 459.
No. three portions from God's holy word. First, from the book of Exodus, part of chapter 15. The book of Exodus, chapter 15, and we commence to read at verse 23. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which, when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them, and said, "If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in his sight, and wilt give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee." And they came to Elim, where were 12 wells of water, and 70 palm trees, and they encamped by the waters. Let's turn to the second book of the Kings, and chapter 6. The second book of the Kings, chapter 6, and we'll read the first 7 verses. And the sons of the prophets said to Elisha, "Behold now, the place where we dwell with thee is too strait for us. Let us go, we pray thee, unto Jordan, and take thence every man a beam. And let us make us a place there where we may dwell." And he answered, "Go ye." And one said, "Be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servants." And he answered, "I will go." So he went with them, and when they came to Jordan, they cut down wood. But as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water. And he cried and said, "Alas, master," for it was borrowed. And the man of God said, "Where fell it?" And he showed him the place. And he cut down a stick and cast it in thither, and the iron did swim. Therefore said he, "Take it up to thee." And he put out his hand and took it. Finally, the Gospel according to John, and chapter 20, and we're commenced to read at verse 19. John's Gospel, chapter 20, and verse 19. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst, and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them, and saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. But Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days again his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, Peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord, and my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen, and yet have believed. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written, that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. May the Lord bless the readings of his holy word and teach us how to pray. Most holy and eternal Lord God of heaven and of earth, we do beseech thee, dear Lord, that thou wilt rend the heavens and come down as we gather this evening to worship thee. Oh, we pray for thy sweet and sacred presence to be known and to be felt within these walls. And oh, how we need thee to shut the world out, Lord, and remove from us all distracting thoughts and cares. And may our hearts and our affections be sat on things above, where Christ sitteth. We pray for sweet access at the throne of thy grace, for that heavenly boldness, that we might come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And O Lord, as it is the evening hour, we do pray that thou wilt come as thou didst to those dear disciples as they journeyed to Emmaus, and that thou wouldst abide with us, for it is toward evening, the day is far spent. We pray, Lord, that thou wilt speak to our souls, for thou hast said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them and they follow me. We pray that we may have that ear to hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches, and that thou wilt speak thy word with power into each of our souls, and may we sweetly prove that it is no vain thing to serve the living God. I pray for thee to give us that living faith to believe, Lord. Lord, who take away all the unbelief, may we have a grain of that faith that thou didst give to God the Abraham of old, who believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. But O Lord, thou knowest the unbelief we're so often plagued with. Oh, do come and remove it all. Take away all the doubts, all the ifs, the buts, the fears. And O do grant, Lord, that grace that we might endure to the end, that we may hold on our way. O do make us steadfast and unmovable in the vital things of God. And O Lord, we pray thou wilt blot out our many, many sins. Oh, we would be found at thy dear feet in humble confession, Lord, in humble repentance, true godly sorrow. May we ever be like the hymn writer when he said, dear Lord, may I a mourner be over my sins and after thee. We pray to be washed in the precious blood of Jesus, to know its sweet cleansing power, and that each burdened sinner, downcast sinner, may lose their load even this night, and that they may be brought to a sweet liberty and peace in their soul. For thou hast said, Lord, if the Son shall make you free, then ye are free indeed. Oh, we pray that thou wilt come, and oh, may pardon be assigned and peace be procured in the hearts of thy people. We do pray, Lord, for those gathered that thou wilt meet their very soul's need. Those that may listen in, Lord, that they may have a crumb from the Master's table, and that thy precious name may be honoured and glorified, and that sinners might be blessed. Do remember the dear children that gather, Lord, and each of the dear young ones. Remember them each, Lord, for good. May they be kept in this wicked and perverse world. and may they be raised up to be real followers of a meek and lowly Jesus, who hear the prayers that are put up for them, Lord, and may they have in their heart some good thing toward the Lord God of Israel, an aching void which this world can never fill, a real desire to be right for time and for eternity. And O Lord, do come and bless each of the young people too. May they follow on to know the Lord and seek most earnestly thy face, and may they be guided and directed of thee, and have thy fear, thy grace in their hearts, to keep them, Lord, and keep us each from this wicked and perverse world. And oh, may it please thee, Lord, where thou art working in the hearts of thy people, to graciously establish them in the truth, that they may be steadfast and unmovable, and be faithful pillars of thine. We pray that thou wilt bless the church here and congregation, who come, Lord, where there are those that are troubled, and that thou wilt sanctify all the troubles thy people have to walk through, that there may be much good and teaching and profit to the souls of thy people. Remember those in affliction, Lord, many are laid aside. We pray for healing and restoring mercies if it would please thee. And O Lord, make each bed in each affliction, we beseech thee. And may thy presence be the stay of thy afflicted people. And may they be led to view a little of the afflictions thou didst endure. We do pray, Lord, for those that are tried and tempted. Thou knowest how powerful the adversary is, Lord, and strong. And we need thee to cast him out, Lord, and to set thy people at liberty. And oh, may many be blessed, that there may be those to follow thee in thy sweet and sacred ordinances. For thou hast said, if ye love me, keep my commandments. Oh, may there be others constrained, Lord. We thank thee for those thou art bringing and hast brought, Lord. And we pray that it may be the sound of an abundance of rain. And do bless the church here, our own flock at home, and Zion too, with a gracious revival, if it would please thee. May there be, even in this town, an awakening, if it's thy holy will, of many sinners round to come and fill the place. We pray that there may be a bringing back of prodigals. Oh, that there may be those that shall begin to be in want and say, I will return to my Father's house, where there is meat and to spare. Lord, we pray for our dear friend here and the burdens and concerns and responsibilities he has, that thou wilt give him all needed help and grace, and do help him in the reading services and in all that concerns him. And we pray, Lord, that thou wilt bless thy servants and grant them that gracious anointing of thy Holy Spirit. And may there be that done even this day, in the name of the Holy Child Jesus. And we pray for thy servant that goes from among them, thou would help him, Lord, where'er he labours. And may thy gospel through him be crowned with success. And Lord, thou do appear in the nation. We beg of thee to put thy fear and grace in our King and the Prime Minister and those in authority, and that there may be a real turning to thee and a forsaking of all the evil that abounds. And Lord, do give them that wisdom and guidance in all the affairs of the nation. But may they be continually looking to thee for it, and not resting on their own understanding. Lord, do preserve us from the powers of evil that there are throughout the earth. And remember thy dear people in Ukraine, Lord, wherever they be. Deliver them from the powers of evil there. Thou knowest that great enemy and all the onslaught he is using. But Lord, thou canst overcome him and overthrow him in a moment. Remember those in Turkey and Syria that have been traumatised by the earthquakes, Lord. Thou knowest those that have been spared their lives, Lord. Thou knowest all those that were ushered into eternity. Oh, we pray thou wouldst speak through these solemn things, that many may yet fear thy holy name. Oh, do turn us and we shall be turned. Save us and we shall be saved. Prepare us each for thy will, dear Lord, and for a vast eternity. Oh, that we might be ready, waiting for thy coming. May the prayer of the dear hymn writer be our fervent petition. Prepare me, gracious God, to stand before thy face. Thy Spirit must the work perform, for it is all of grace. And in Christ's obedience clothe and wash us in his blood. So shall we then lift up our head with joy among the sons of God. We would praise thee and bless thee for all thy many mercies, dear Lord. Thou dost favour us with, unworthy as we are. We would give thee all the honour, all the glory, all the praise. To anoint us to speak a few things in thy holy name this evening. May we be the Lord's messenger in the Lord's message. And O Lord, do grant a true spirit of hearing. We do beseech thee. Forgive what we've uttered amiss. Make up where we so fail. So we would fall into thy kind arms. Sink or swim, we ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen.
The notices for the opening week are that God willing, Mr. Bernard Burgess will preach here on Tuesday evening, and Mr. Graham Cottenham next Lord's Day evening, when the ordinance of the Lord's Supper will be observed during the evening service. As helped, there will be a read address during the prayer meeting and a read sermon during the morning service. The collection and donations taken for the month amounts to £560 in the general fund and £27.15 in the benevolent fund. We desire to thank the friends for their willing giving, acknowledge the Lord's mercies in his provisions. May we now continue our worship, singing together hymn 132. Hymn 132, to the tune Leicester, 171. A friend there is, your voices join, ye saints, to praise his name, whose truth and kindness are divine, whose love's a constant flame, when most we need his helping hand. This friend is always near, with heaven and earth at his command, he waits to answer prayer. Hymn 132, tune Leicester, 171.
seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I'll direct you to the second book of the Kings, chapter 6, and the 6th verse. The second book of the Kings, chapter 6, and verse 6. And the man of God said, "Where fell it?" And he showed him the place. And he cut down a stick and cast it in thither, and the iron did swim. The second book of the Kings, chapter 6 and verse 6. And the man of God said, "Where fell it?" And he showed him the place, and he cut down a stick and cast it in thither, and the iron did swim. This is a very blessed and sacred part of God's holy word, sometimes not very often preached from, but we find here something very precious, really, which I want to look into in a moment. But the case was here that the sons of the prophets, as we read in the lesson, said to Elisha, "Behold, now the place where we dwell is too straight for us." And they felt it. And there are times where, and we can look at that in two ways, there are times where there are those that feel under a searching ministry the place is too straight for them, and they venture elsewhere. But with this, on this occasion, the place was too straight for them because there was nothing there for them, and they were to venture on. It was the Lord's purpose. They were to be brought to such a place. And there's just a few things I want to name before looking at the text. They said, "Let us go, we pray thee, unto Jordan, and take thence every man a beam." They hadn't got to go empty-handed. They'd all got to carry a beam. And there are those things that the Lord lays upon his dear people they have to carry. It's like carrying a beam. That wouldn't be easy. But they got to venture with this weight upon them, which meant they were to be dependent upon the Lord for his help and for his grace to venture. And let us make us a place there where we may dwell. And he said, "Go ye." It was a complete blessed command given by the man of God. "Go ye." And there are times where the Lord does bid his dear people to go. It may be in his commands. It may be following the Lord in his sacred ordinances. And it may be they have to venture forward in a path that is not palatable to the flesh. It may be through much trial. And he said, "Go ye." And one said, "Be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servant." And he answered, "I will go." You see here the willingness to go. And we think of Joshua in leading the children of Israel at the death of Moses. The Lord wonderfully made him willing to take on that great mantle that Moses had carried over those years through the wilderness. and he was willing to go. And but then there are other occasions, like the mother of Christ, when there was no wine at the marriage in Cana of Galilee. Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. They were made willing to do it. Let us go, he says. I will go. So they went and with them, and when they came to Jordan, they cut down wood. But as that one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water, and he cried and said, alas, master, for it was borrowed. The near man, there's no doubt, it was a great burden to him when that axe's head fell into the water. And the one thing that seemed to stand out to me concerning this was, it was firstly not by chance it fell into the water. The Lord had a purpose in it, and he's recorded in here in his holy word. But you see here the honesty of the dear man who was using this axe, because he said, alas, master, it was borrowed. There's no doubt he was a poor man and had not an axe himself, but had borrowed it. But there's a searching point here. It's a very solemn thing if you and I have got a borrowed religion, something that the Lord has not given us. We borrowed it maybe from the Word of God, or we borrowed it from others that are gracious characters. And that's a very searching word, for it was borrowed. And the Lord is a witness in your heart and mine how much we have borrowed. I remember some years ago, it must be over 50 years ago now, in my early days in the ministry, a young lady came before the church, and the church accepted her testimony. And afterwards she said, now I've deceived you all, because all what I've told you is borrowed. And you think how searching and how solemn. They received it as from the Lord, but it was all borrowed. And where that lady is today, I do not know. But I often think back to that, you know. It was very searching for the church, and very searching it was to many that saw it all take place. But our text says, and the man of God said, where fell it? He wanted to know the exact place where the axe's head fell. And he showed him the place. And this is what is really with me, and the text the Lord has given me to bring here. And he cut down a stick and cast it in thither. Now, there's a beautiful sense that this has been with me. You see, he didn't just cut anything and cast it into the water. This stick, no doubt, was cut from a living tree. And as soon as it was cast in thither, the iron did swim. Now, I don't wish to read further than what the Holy Spirit would allow us into Holy Writ, but you know, it came to me so powerfully as soon as this text dropped in, and he cut down a stick and cast it in thither. One's heart immediately went to the dear Saviour himself. And that is why we read in the book of Exodus, because there was a parallel illustration of it, and we read concerning the children of Israel, and we read it in the lesson this evening. They'd just been wonderfully delivered from the Red Sea and sung the praises of their God, who had so worked mightily and wonderfully. But then they come to the waters of Marah. And as we read in the lesson, the waters of Marah were bitter. Now, that dear man whose axe's head fell into that water, it was a bitter trial to him. Oh, it was. The axe was borrowed. There's no doubt the dear man had not the money to buy another one if they could not retrieve it. And here at the waters of Marah, these waters were bitter, and the children of Israel couldn't drink of those waters. And they went to Moses and said, murmured against him, saying, "What shall we drink?" And what did Moses do? He cried unto the Lord, and he showed him a tree, which, when he had cast into the waters, the waters were made sweet. Now that tree sets forth beautifully the dear Lord Jesus suffering, bleeding, dying for his dear people. It was, and if you can look in your heart, in your pathway, if you're walking in bitter things, or like the man in our text whose head fell into the water, it was a bitter trial to him. But you know, there was a way it would be made sweet. And so there was with the children of Israel at the waters of Marah. They must... The Lord showed him a tree which he had to cast into the waters. Now, you know that beautiful word of tree, none other than the Lord Jesus himself. Cast into this water, it made it sweet. The stick that was cast into the water for the dear man was to make this pathway sweet to him. Now let's remember, firstly, we must come into the bitter things, because it's only in them, when we know what it is for the Lord to be cast into it with us, in it, to make it sweet. A little view of the dear Redeemer on the cross at Calvary, suffering in our room, place and stead, will make the very bitter that you walk in sweet. And it can do it in a moment. What do we sing in the hymn? Although our cup seems filled with gall, there's something secret which sweetens all. And dear Mr. Cowper in the hymn, did he not say, the bud may have a bitter taste, but sweet will be the flower. And so as the dear man here cast down the stick, and it came into the water, the iron did swim. The blessing was to come up out of it, you see. And so often we come into some bitter afflictions, don't we? Bitter trials, bitter difficulties in providence or in grace. But what's come out of it? Have there not been those sweet occasions where the Lord has revealed himself to us in it? And the promises that you may have been given in days past, which almost seemed dead and buried, have began to swim and come back to your heart's attention and blessing to your soul. And we read here, and the iron did swim. Therefore, he says, take it up to thee. And he put out his hand and took it. And that's what faith will do. As the blessing descends, and out of the bitter cup or the bitter waters, a precious Christ is revealed, what will faith do? It will embrace him. It will hold him. It will not let him go. And he put out his hand and took it. And that's what living faith will do. We tried to look at it at home a little today. The hands of faith. How the Lord gives his dear people those hands of faith to reach out for him, to hold him, not let him go. But then you may think, well, why did we read in John's Gospel? Well, on each occasion, thinking of this coming here this evening and this word upon her and the casting in the stick, you think of those dear disciples. They had been through much sorrow, much anguish of soul. They'd seen their dear Redeemer crucified, laid in the grave. They felt everything was gone. But the Lord was to wonderfully appear for them. And you think of that glorious day where we read in this evening, the same day at evening, this was after the resurrection, Christ had risen, a mighty conqueror over sin, over death, over hell, over the grave. And what took place? The same day at evening being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, there where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews. And then we read this. Came Jesus and stood in the midst. He was to settle their poor troubled hearts and manifest himself to them. And not only that, he was to speak to their souls. A word that they so needed. You see, they'd been tossed around, perplexed, distressed, persecuted, so tried. They said, didn't they, as they journeyed to Emmaus, we trusted that it had been he that should have redeemed Israel. But what does he say to them? He saith unto them, peace be unto you. You know, really, that was a wonderful fulfillment of what he told them in John 14. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And here he confirms it to them, doesn't he? And then, what does he do? He shows them his hands and his side. Oh, to have a glimpse of those pierced hands, the nailed to Calvary's tree. The hymn writer said, the soldiers pierced his side, 'tis true. But we have pierced him through and through. And Oh, to have that sweet assurance that he's put away all our sins at Calvary. Therefore, peace. It flows, you see, through the precious blood of Jesus. And if you go back through those two previous lessons we read, both where our text is in Kings, what was this to do to that dear man whose axe fell into the water? As soon as the axe head swung, it gave him peace. It gave him peace. And oh, poor soul, may the Lord, in whatever you may have to go through, whether it's sufferings of affliction, whether it's sufferings of persecution, opposition, whether it's the onslaughts of Satan, all the works of the devil trying to oppose the child of God. Oh, may out of it all the Lord speak peace to you, bring peace into your soul. And you think of those children of Israel at there at Marah, he was to make those bitter waters sweet. Oh, he was. But it was only as that tree was cast into it. And it's only as the Lord is pleased to come right into your soul, into your pathway, and take away all the bitterness because of sin, the unbelief, the doubts there are. Sweep them all away. And then he will give you that peace. And so we have it in John's Gospel, don't we? Jesus saith unto them, again, peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And then after 8 days, when Thomas was assembled again with them, the dear Redeemer speaks it again. So we have it 3 times here. You know, you so often find in the Word of God, the Lord confirms it not just once, but twice. And here we have the sweet proof of it. As they were gathered together, he said unto them, peace be unto you. And what was that for? That was a sweet taste, if I may put it so, of heaven begun below. And that peace, you know, the Lord gives when he comes, as he did to the dear man with the axe's head in the water, as he did for the children of Israel at the after the Red Sea and the waters of Marah, he was to give them peace. What does the hymn writer say? Peace by his cross has Jesus made. And then that same sacred hymn 925, oh, this glorious man, thy peace shall be. And may the Lord favour us more and more to see his appearing, answering prayer, turning the sorrow into joy, like he did for the disciples, making the bitter waters that a child of God has to walk through sweet. And you won't forget those times, poor soul. Oh no. You'll be able to look back at them and you'll say with the hymn writer, where is the blessedness I knew when first I saw the Lord? Where is the soul's refreshing view of Jesus and his word? So we have this word then. And just to tarry a few moments on this and the iron did swim. You see, iron is so heavy, isn't it? Heavier than water. It goes to the bottom. But you see, to have, and we see here, the wonders really God alone can do, causing iron to swim. Causing the iron to swim. And how many occasions in the Word of God do we find that the Lord does those things that are impossible with men? No man could make those mortars of Marah weep, but the Lord did. And he commanded, you see, Moses to cast in that tree, which so, as I've tried to feebly set before you, meant a precious Jesus, into that water. But you see, they had to taste the water to know the bitterness, and they had to taste it to know what it was for those waters to be made sweet. And that's a very humbling experience. There's no room for self there, or pride, or anything of man. It is all for the glory of God and for the benefit of the souls of the Lord's dear people. You look in the case of Job, and it was a bitter pathway, wasn't it? But you look how the Lord blessed him in it and gave him those wonderful blessings. We think of this. He said, doesn't he, in the depths of it, I know that my Redeemer liveth. And also he said, but he knoweth the way that I take. And when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. How could any gold come out of all that bitter path he walked while the Lord was with him in it, poor soul? And here we see the wonders, the impossible things brought to fruition by the Lord. And he says here, and he cut down a stick and cast it in thither. It must go into that water. And the iron did swim. And oh, as I intimated just now, how precious it is when the promises are all brought back to our soul's attention, reminded of what the Lord did say. And yet sometimes they've seemed dead and buried. But you see, the old preachers used to say, some of the best promises come when the sinner is in the depths. And this, no doubt, this dear man needed the Lord to appear. And the Lord wonderfully did, and to work for him and in him. Well, I'll leave these things for your prayerful meditation, because in each of the occasions how the Lord turned the sorrow into joy. The bitter was made sweet. The rough places were made plain. The darkness was made light. And then your poor soul can love and praise him more. You look back on it and you think, well, out of it all, their soul was a prophet. You think of Hezekiah, when he was enabled to say in his song of deliverance, by these things men live, and in all these things is the life of my spirit. You see, the Lord will have the souls of his people lively. We're so often sleepy, aren't we? Unexercised, unconcerned. But you know, some of the best blessings are when the depths of the trial. And he brings that to stir the sinner up, to make them earnestly plead and pray for his appearing, and beg and wrestle with him until he does work. So he says here, and may we lay it to heart this evening, and the man of God said, notice who this man was, the man of God said, Elisha, God's beloved servant, who was used so much in his day and generation, where fell it. He wanted to know, and he showed him the place. Have you got any places you can look back to tonight where you've been in the depths? I've been in the depths. And then the Lord appears, and he cut down a stick and cast it in thither. It had to go in that water. It seemed so real to me when the text dropped in. It got to go into that water, that stick. And then the iron did swim. Out of it was to come the blessing. Well, I'll leave it for your prayerful meditation. May the Lord bless his own precious word to each of our souls. Amen.
Let us conclude by singing together hymn 138, June Lydia 177. Jesus, I love thy charming name, 'tis music in my ear. Fain would I sound it out so loud that earth and heaven might hear. Yes, thou art precious to my soul, my transport and my trust. Jewels to thee are gaudy toys, and gold is sordid dust. O may thy name upon my heart shed a rich fragrance there, the noblest balm of all my wounds, the cordial of my care. I'll speak the honours of thy name with my last labouring breath, and dying clasp thee in my arms, the antidote of death. Hymn 178, June Lydia 177.
do seek that thou wilt forgive anything thy pure eyes have seen amiss. Do bless thy own word. May we know more and more of thy sweet presence, especially in those deep and dark places. And oh, may the bitters be made sweet. Do take us each now into thy kind care and keeping. And oh, may the grace of the dear Lord Jesus, the love of God, and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit rest and remain with us each, now and forevermore. Amen.